Kevin Eikenberry is an experienced leadership and remote work specialist. He is a keynote speaker, a trainer, a podcaster. His newest book is Flexible Leadership, Navigating Uncertainty, Navigate Uncertainty, and Lead with Confidence. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
George, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be with you.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Well, I'm a husband and a father and a son and a brother and all of those things. And I guess probably the thing I would say that maybe makes me a little different. There's a lot of things that make me different. But the thing that makes me different than a lot of folks that do the kind of work I do is that I grew up on a farm in Michigan. Proud of being a farm kid. I think a lot of what I learned there has influenced my life in significant ways. And I still own the farm that I grew up on, which is with my sister and our families. And that's a wonderful part of my life. And I think from all of that, I couldn't have made this connection forward, but a lot of times we can make connections better backwards, right, George? And so I think the connection between how do you go from being a farm kid and a Purdue Ag graduate to running a leadership development training and consulting company for 30 years. And I think that the connective tissue is growth. And so I learned as a kid and I learned in college how to grow things, biological growth, biological and mechanical systems. And now I deal with human and organizational systems and still all about helping to make and help people grow. So we are in the business and in my life is all about helping leaders make a better place, make the world a better place. So that's why I'm here. That's why I wrote this book. And ultimately, that's why I'm with you this morning, George.
I love it. What kind of stuff did you grow on the farm or raise?
So we had pigs. So we raised hogs and we had sort of normal upper Midwest cash crops, wheat, corn. We had some vegetable crops in our area, but mainly those were the main things. Now in that area, there's a lot more soybeans grown, but not near as many grown then.
If anybody who's listening has ever tried to grow something, you know just how difficult that is. And so I love the analogy. I think you think about all the conditions that have to be right for a plant to grow, but also for a human being to be successful in an organization. Their first day, how they're going to be successful. It's somebody who's been there for 30 years. There's outside, obviously it's going to, there's droughts, there's floods, there's just chaos.
Yeah, there is. There's it's so true. And so a lot of times we think about growing people as like, well, we'll send them to training. And obviously we deliver training, right? But ultimately, training is an event, but learning is a process. And so just like a plant grows over time, and it requires a lot of inputs to your point. And the same is true for us as individuals, as learners, whether we have the leader hat on or not.
And I imagine that also has changed over the course of the 30 years that you've been doing this.
Well, I think maybe this is an undercurrent of all of my work is that from a marketing perspective, to do the kind of stuff we do, like you got to have what's your new thing? Like, what's your thing? Like, what's the, and so there's always a fad. There's always a new thing to try to chase. And I think it's important to recognize context. And what I would say is that way more is the same about learning than is different. I mean, human beings been around a long time, right? And fundamentally how we learn hasn't changed. What has changed is we've got some new options, right? Before you hit the record button, we were talking about podcasting and you've been doing it, you know, in one way or another since 16. And I've been doing it since 16. And, you know, 30 years ago, to get the kind of value that people can get out of a conversation like this, they had to buy an audio tape series and listen to it in their car, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. And so what's happened is media continues to change. Media proliferates. The free line has dropped. And so the options for how we might be able to get information has definitely changed. But the learning process hasn't changed. And oh, by the way, the learning we're talking about, George, ultimately, isn't just knowledge, Right. So, like, what people can get from this conversation is maybe knowledge, inspiration, etc. But you're going to have to, I'm not talking to you, George, but to the audience, you're going to have to take action on this to turn that knowledge into action. Moving from knowing to doing is ultimately what matters. And all of that about how that happens as humans, like, that hasn't changed at all.
Isn't that the truth? Moving from knowing to doing. The world is littered with educated derelicts who can't seem to get it together ever. And there's plenty of people out there who learn something new and put it to work immediately.
And those are the people that make a difference in the world, ultimately.
So your premise for the new book is that it's flexibility that's been missing from leadership development.
Well, you know, I stand on, sit on the shoulders of folks who came before me. But it's about 100 years, I would say, in many ways, that there's been like diligent, focused, ongoing effort around leadership development, other than, say, the military, right, which has been thinking about what leadership looks like from a military perspective much longer than that. But fundamentally, we're talking about 100-ish years, round numbers. And I've been around in 30 of it, right? So I've got a perspective. Here's the thing. A lot of really smart people have worked really hard to create models and approaches and done research to highlight some things. And all of that work is important and useful. And people have tried to build models that help people simplify a complex world so that they can take some action on it. And so that often ends up looking like things like styles, leadership styles, right? And if you're listening, you may have taken one of those kinds of assessments, or communication styles, right? Or personality styles, which I don't love that word in this context, but you get the idea. So you've probably taken something that gives you a letter or a couple of letters, or a style word, or some strengths, and all of that stuff is useful until it's not. And what I have found is for leaders, it's often no longer useful, not because there's anything wrong with those approaches, but because we've taken them too far. See, if we have a model, we're trying to simplify the complex world. And then what we're doing is we're taking that model and we're further simplifying it and giving people a letter. And a letter or a color or an animal or whatever. And the point of that is to be helpful. But the problem is then we as humans further simplify it or take our pattern recognition to the nth degree and say, now this is who I am. And we go from insight from style to identity. And once it's our identity and we hook that together with habit, there's not much flexibility. And we say things like, this is how I lead. This is how I do it. This is, you're just going to have to get used to it because this is how I do it. Or even, I've found this successful. So, and so there's no flexibility in any of that because I've decided how I'm going to do it.
It's
That's my take, right?
I have
So go ahead.
I've rejected category my entire life. I've always hated when I hate answering the question, so what do you do? Because people are, for the most part, just interested in categorizing me, so they don't need to try to figure it out any further. And maybe that's just because I'm vain or whatever it might be, but I have just never liked it. And so hearing what
Well,
you
you're
just
a
said,
Renaissance man, George. That's why.
sure. Right. But it resonates with me because sure, got this figured out, and now, or on the other side of the equation, this is the kind of leader that I am, and I'm going to go lead based on the attributes or the letter or whatever. So
And here's the thing, in that, there's not necessarily ill intent,
right.
right? And in fact, we do that, we go there in our head because it's at first it's very helpful to us, right? It's just that if we stay there, it becomes more and more unhelpful. That's really the point, right? So like you're kind of using a voice, and I could use that same voice to sort of like, this is how I am, and that's the end point of it. But there's rarely ill intent between learning about a style approach and before we get to that end set in stone, this is me thing. Like the intention along that way is not necessarily negative. It's just where what ends up happening.
Yeah, I see value in it. I think it's good, but to your point, it's that's going to get you to one point, but it's not going to get you any further, or it's going to be actually harmful.
Yeah, I've been saying lately, and I don't think it's actually in the book. You know, one of the things that happens is you write a book. If you write with a major publisher, then there's this lag between when you write it and when it's out in the world. And so one of the things that I've been saying lately, which I think is really true, and that is in a world of uncertainty, let's just go back to a time when we all recognized very viscerally uncertainty. Like about 5 years ago, when Corona became a virus instead of a beer, and we sent everybody home from work. Like we all remember that moment in time. If at the beginning of 2020, when you weren't thinking about a virus yet and you weren't thinking about a pandemic, if you're still leading the way you were at the beginning of 2020, do you think that the world has conspired to make you more successful? Do you think that all of the changes and uncertainty in the world have sort of bent in the direction of your personal style? I would say the odds of that pretty darn low. Which means that we probably need to be adjusting our approach. Now, there's some things we don't need to flex, but I think the things we need to flex are critical.
So, what are some of those things?
Well, let's start with what doesn't flex. So let's take the metaphor of a tree. So I can look out my window here at my office and I can see a tree, but you can see one in your mind's eye right now. And here it is. Here's a tree. It's stable. It's consistent. It's not moving. It's unwavering. It's rooted. But there doesn't have to be very much of a breeze for you to know that that same tree that is all of those things is also flexible. It is pliant. It is moving in the breeze. Here's the thing. Being a flexible leader doesn't mean we lose everything. It doesn't mean, like, just like a tree is rooted, we should be rooted in our principles, our purpose, our values, our goals. Those things don't need to change. But just like the tree needs to flex to maintain that stability, we need to flex our approach. We don't need to flex our why or even necessarily our what, but we have to flex our how. And so flexible leadership is about flexing how we do it based on the situation or context that we're in. And so the first big idea is that consistent or stable and flexible aren't opposites. That the world is not either or black and white, but the world as a leader is much more about shades of gray or both and. And so the idea is that to be a flexible leader is to be both and leader, to say that there are different things that in the past I might have chosen between, and now I need to flex between.
I love all that. I love all of that. I love the tree metaphor. It is perfect because certainly, tree's been around for 100 years, and a big wind comes along, and parts of the tree move, and even some of the leaves fall off. Maybe a branch breaks off, but the tree's still there. It's still rooted, and that these
100%.
things.
And it's rooted in fat part because of that ability to flex, right? It's been able to withstand the winds and the storms and the droughts, back to what we were talking about before, and all of those things. So it's not just, oh, by the way, it's flexible. It's because it's flexible. And as leaders, if we want to be effective in a world of uncertainty, in a world where the right answers either don't exist or are exceedingly elusive, then we have to figure out how we can flex with our teams so that and for our teams so that we can be more effective.
So when you say where the right answer doesn't exist necessarily, what is that? Can you give me an example or what that
Well,
means?
so let's just okay. So first of all, we grew up with right answers, right? 2 + 2, there's a right answer. Right. Like we grew up with that and we became leaders because we were good at the work we did before that. Right. And in fact, we had some subject matter expertise, we had technical knowledge. And so somehow we feel like now we're supposed to have more of that. We're supposed to be like the super technical expert on all of the things. And so that leads us as leaders to continue to look for right answers in a world that's clear, where the cause and effect is obvious. Where experience is 100% relevant, where processes rule, then there's no problem with the right answers, except that that's not our world most of the time. So let's take an example. So after COVID, we had to send, for lots of reasons, we sent people home. In many jobs, we sent people home to work from home, no longer working in the office. And then the time came where we're going to bring people back to the office. Well, if there was a right answer, everyone would be doing it the same way. And yet not everyone's doing it the same way. And some people that have tried to do it in a way have had all sorts of unintended consequences show up because they've treated it like it used to be when the world is fundamentally different than it used to be. Right. And so flexibility actually becomes the antidote for uncertainty because it allows us to navigate, it allows us to flex, it allows us to look at the context and say, where should we actually be heading, given what we know? Like, if you have, as a leader or even as a human being, have ever started to do something the way you've always done it and said, well, it depends. Maybe I should. Well, what does it depend on? All of those, it depends, is context. And if you then, you may look at it all and say, yeah, the way I've done it's going to work just fine. Great. But when you look at that context, you may find, there's some things I could do differently that might get me a better outcome. That's at the heart of being flexible. It's being willing to stop the auto response and look and see what might I do different that might give me a better result. And the book just gives you a bunch of approaches to help you do that.
Thank you. That is really helpful. It helped kind of click in my mind. I've been thinking over the past, I don't know how many years, many, about the challenges that, and I'll sort of get this back to business in just a second, that organized religion has in attracting new people into the church or the synagogue or whatever. And I just talked to my wife. I said, is it wise for them to water the message down or to make it more palatable slash accessible? You see all these community churches that are popping up that are offering similar message, but in a very different way. And then what came into my mind was IBM. You had just the blue suits or whatever. This is the IBM way, but is that getting them to where they want to go? And is this a perfect advertisement for what it is that you're talking about?
Well, yeah, we could probably have a long conversation about that. So from my perspective, if you want to use the church or religion example, the rooting needs to be the message. In the case that we're describing, the Lord's message in the Bible. Like, if we stay rooted on that, then it doesn't matter what songs we sing or whether we sing or whether we watch or whether we dance, whether we raise our arms or like, so what? Like, if that helps, if that flexibility is serving the rooted piece, then you're probably moving in the right direction. And so that would be the analog or the metaphor to what I'm suggesting here. Like, our principles don't change, our values don't change, our purpose doesn't change, our goals don't change as a leader necessarily. But how we need, what do we need, what serves us to help get there is important.
And for business, it's essentially the same. Just if you stick with the principles, the mission, the values, but then how you're delivering, how you're allowing people to work for the company, is that germane? Is that
Sure,
is
sure. Like, and when and how are we asking for input, and how are we, so the idea here is based on, and I introduced this idea already when I said consistent and flexible, right? I call that a flexor, although that's not a flexor in the book. I believe there's lots of flexors in our world, right? And so there are 19 of them in the book. So I'll just give you one. And so one. Or maybe I'll give you two, depending on how much time we have. But the first one I'll give you is that leadership is about outcomes and others, right? Re leadership is reaching valuable outcomes with and through others. So outcomes and others is the flexor. And so some people, as leaders, you probably know some of them that are very much focused on the outcomes. You and I were talking about sports before we started, George. And if you're a sports fan, you watch some coaches that are very much focused on the outcome. It's all about the technology. It's all about the technique. It's all about the approach. It's about outcome. And there are others that are much more focused on the people doing the work, the others. And so the right answer is rarely on at the ends of any of these flexors, but rather in between. Right. And so the most effective leaders can look at the context and see which direction do I need to lean. See, Your style has you locked into a spot. And in oftentimes, you're either introverted or extroverted, right? You're on the ends of that one end of the other, that or the other. Well, no one is all the way at the end. And yet we end up treating ourselves as, well, I'm this or I'm this. And so outcomes versus others as a flexor means there's tension between those things. And where do we need to be in that tension right now based on the situation that we're in? There's an example.
Is Theo Epstein a perfect example of this in the world of athletics?
Well, I'm not a Theo, I'm not a perfect Theo Epstein
Just that he was able to go in and
scholar,
change
but he
everything
was
about the
able
Red
to, at
Sox,
100%, he
win
was
the
able to
World
do that.
Series, did the same thing for the Cubs, win the World Series.
And adjusted based on the needs of the situation. So while I'm not an expert, I would say on that at that level for sure.
Yeah. That's such a good one. The introvert, the extrovert. It's like no human being on planet Earth is one or the other. It's so silly.
And
Or,
yeah, and see, that's the oversimplification that we as human, this is humans, right? We are really good at recognizing patterns. And so once we go, oh, there's another extrovert. Oh, look at them in that meeting. They're extroverted in that moment, and that might be their natural tendency, but that doesn't mean that an extrovert can't be quiet. And as a leader, perhaps as an extrovert doesn't need to be quiet.
love it. Well, Kevin, I'm confident we could talk about this for hours and hours and hours, and maybe one day we will.
And I
But
can even come back, you
yeah,
know?
perfect. We will simply do that. So thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage? And certainly, where can they get their copy of Flexible Leadership, Navigate Uncertainty and Lead with Confidence?
Well, you can get a copy of the book wherever fine books are sold. If you're an Amazon person, Barnes and Noble person, of course you can do that. You go to flexibleleadershipbook.com. You can get a sample chapter and you can learn some other stuff and have those same links. And if you're thinking about buying books for more than just yourself, there are some bonuses there if you're buying more copies. So flexibleleadershipbook.com. But I also have, and you can find me anywhere. Like if you can figure out and go to the show notes and figure out how to spell my name, like you can find me. Connect with me on LinkedIn, do all those sorts of things. Our main website is kevineichenberry.com. But I want to give George everyone here a gift for having been with us and stayed with us till the end. If you go to kevineichenberry.com/gift, I have a gift of a masterclass I created to give you full access to it. It's about building confidence in yourself and others, and it's yours for free. There's information about the book on that page too, but kevineichenberry.com/gift. It's a gift for you.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Kevin your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Pick up your copy of Flexible Leadership at flexibleleadershipbook.com. And I was on there earlier today. If you are part of an organization, either leading it in the middle, at the beginning, and your organization does trainings, you've certainly gotten a feel for the way Kevin communicates information. I find it to be extremely helpful and easy to follow along. So there's great packages where you can get everybody in the organization a book, and even get the opportunity to bring him in and do a book club and workshop and lots of other great things. And then go to Kevin Eikenberry. It's eikenberry.com/gift. Take advantage of that confidence course, because certainly confidence is a superpower that we can all get better at. Thanks again, Kevin.
Thanks for having me, George.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.